the cry of your heart this morning to be able to say, I am lost without you. I'm desperate for you. We don't come here every week to just feel good about ourselves and check something off of a checklist. We come to encounter Jesus. We come to have an experience with him. And, you know, this song is, you know, one of the older ones now, but this song is still so powerful. It's us being vulnerable and saying that I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you. And I think we can all agree that the world we live in today, we need Jesus. So this morning, as they continue to play, I want to read some scripture. And if you want to read it with me, you can turn in your Bibles to John chapter 13. We're going to read the first 17 verses. It'll be on the screen as well. But just as the words of that song say, your very words spoken to me. This is our daily bread this morning. Read this with me. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, he took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, you don't realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. And Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. You understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master. Nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do. This is our daily bread today, spoken to us. Disciples may not have always realized it. They seem to miss the meaning behind so many of Jesus' words, but they were desperate for him. And they followed him everywhere he went, and they did their best to do what he asked them to do. So this morning, if you're here and you just feel lost and you feel desperate and you're not sure what's going on in your life, reach out to Jesus. We are lost without him. Let's sing those words again one more time. Maybe just shut your eyes. Just say, Father, I am lost without you. I am desperate for you. Let's have an experience with him today.
I'm lost without you.
Beautiful, beautiful words to that song. Sometimes easier sung than actually doing them, but I think I think all of us can say we're lost without him, and that's not a hard thing for us to say. The last 4 weeks, Sheldon has been doing a series called Emmanuel, God with Us, and a great series, but we're going to come back now to the series that we were on before that called Finding and Following. It's been really good going through the book of John and seeing these stories of Jesus and his encounters and the things that he's teaching us. So we're going to go back to that today, and as we read scripture there in chapter 13, today I want to talk about what Jesus did in that upper room. And he washed the feet of Jesus. I think we miss sometimes the meaning behind that, and we just look at the surface. And we think, okay, so Jesus was humble, and he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and so he's just showing them that we need to serve others. Well, yes, we do need to do that, but there's a hidden meaning and a deeper meaning in there, and we're going to look at that today. This picture right here is my son, Trip. And he's the one up here sinking down into his chair right now. This was his first day of school picture. And one of the few pictures we can get where he smiles normal, because normally he's going to be the funny one and has the crazy smile on his face. Trip is a typical boy. And he probably will be moving out today when we get home, because I'm pretty sure he's not going to want to live anywhere near me anymore after today. He's a typical boy. He likes to play video games. He likes to go outside and play football or basketball or jump on the trampoline, just get dirty in general, because that's what boys like to do. Well, Trip does everything at 100%. And so when he goes outside and plays, it doesn't matter what he's wearing. You know, if he's playing a football game in the front yard, he's going to give it 110%. And if that means you have to dive and slide all over the grass, he's going to do it. So one day, about 3 weeks ago, he was wearing some new blue jeans that his mom bought him, and they were a really light denim color and had the rips all in them, because that's what's cool. I guess I'll wear mine next week. But he wore those to school, and I told him when we went to school, I was dropping him and Jackson off at school, I said, all right, listen. I said, I don't want you at recess today to get out there and slide all over the grass when you're playing football or playing whatever it is that you're playing, because these jeans are really light and you have no idea the effort and the work it's going to take to get those stains out of it. Okay, I do the laundry and I know what it's like, and sometimes you have to run, especially our two-year-old's clothes have to go through like four times to get all that stuff off of there, of her dinner and all the things that she eats. And so I told him that because he has a habit of coming home with, stains on his knees. Okay. So now we fast forward throughout the day, and I come back to pick him up from school. So it's 3:30, and I see Jackson Tripp walking, and immediately my blood pressure has come to here, okay? Because it's not just grass stains. I could have sworn they had taken a field trip to a farm, and he had been with the pigs, because there was mud and dirt, in here in this area, everywhere. If there weren't rips in the jeans before, there would have been by the time he was done with them that day, okay? Disclaimer, I was not the most kind person, okay? He got in the car. Normally, I'm like, hey, guys, how was today? How was, what'd you do? And all that stuff. But I just immediately, 900 miles an hour. And I said, dude, I said, what is the last thing I said to you before you got out of the truck? And his first response is what does every kid always say? It was an accident. Yeah, I didn't mean to. It was an accident. And so I said, what I should have done been like, you're right, I love you, I'm sorry, it's okay. That is not what I did, okay? I'm being real vulnerable right now, people, okay? So those of you that are, thank you. I know I'm not alone. So I said, it's the last thing I said. I said, when I ask you to do something, I'm not being mean. There's a reason behind it. You have no idea how much time. I don't even know if we can get this out. We just bought those. Your mom's going to kill you. I started blaming it on her, she would have been like, it's fine. And so I said, man, you never listened. You don't even care what I say. You just do whatever it is you want to do. Only I said it probably way more hateful. Okay. And so later that night, well, I think, first of all, let's just agree. I was not very Christ-like in my reaction, okay? Don't judge me. You've all done it. If you have kids, you've all done it. I don't remember who said this or who, but we're always told, don't discipline your kids in anger. Well, when the heck else am I supposed to discipline them? If I'm not mad at them, why would I discipline them? Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. But no, I get the premise of it. You know, don't be angry when you do it. And I should have just not said anything, but I did. So later that evening, I'm not sure where I was, but Tripp told his mom. He said, Mom, can you just tell Braddy that I'm a kid? And at the time, I thought, yeah, I know, and that means you should listen to your parent. It was, you know, what I was thinking. But what I needed to learn in that moment was forgiveness. Forgiveness. That's a tough one for all of us, I think. When I was preparing this sermon, and I was putting all this together, it was like the light bulb went off in my head. And I realized, because I thought back to that, and I thought, man, I missed the boat. Because what I should have done, well, yes, there's always consequences, but I shouldn't have been as hateful, and I shouldn't have said the things again. So I'm saying in front of everybody, Tripp, I'm sorry for how I reacted that day, and I won't do it again. Cool? He's packing, he's in his mind, he's packing his stuff up, mostly because that picture was up there. But, no, I had that light bulb moment because I thought, we're all kids. We're all God's children. And we do dumb stuff all the time. And God doesn't yell at us. He doesn't, you know, make us feel this big. He just picks us up. He puts his arms around us. He loves on us. He says, it's okay, son, daughter. I love you. Let's just dust you off. Tripp didn't need to take a bath when he got home because he had mud and stuff all over his pants. He'd already taken a bath. He was clean. We just needed to wash those pants. Nothing he did made him any less my child. It's the same thing with God. If we're his children and we're already in relationship with him, you know, we don't have to come and say, hey, I need to get saved. I need to be baptized again. We've already done that. We just need to wash our feet. Going through this life, we're going to get the mud and the muck and all that junk of sin all over us. And that's what Jesus is saying here. You don't need to bathe again, but let's just get this stuff off your feet. So I just needed to take his jeans and wash them. I did. About 5 times. But they're good as new now. And it's okay. It's not a big deal. Let me tell you another story. Robert Morris is the pastor of Gateway Church, which is a multi-campus church in the DFW area. Our staff has taken a couple trips there to go to conferences. We do a couple of their songs. And about 10 years ago, he tells the story about how he and his wife were counseling with a couple. And he's telling the story, and they were having a lot of problems, and the husband had made some mistakes and had been immoral, and he said that the husband was sitting there talking about how much God was using this situation in his life, okay? And he said, I kind of looked over at the wife, and she's sitting there, and her eyes are puffy and swollen, and, you know, tears are coming down her face, and she's just trying to hold it all together. And he said, I looked at the husband, and he said, and before I thought, I just blurted this statement out. He said, I looked at him, he said, you make me sick. It caught the husband off guard, and he said, I'm sorry, excuse me? He said, you make me sick. He said, you're sitting here right now telling me how God is using this in your life to teach you all these things, and your wife is sitting over here. You know, look at her. He said, had you physically beaten her up, and she had 2 black eyes and, you know, a busted lip and a bloody nose, and you could see that? He said, that's what her soul looks like. He said, you have beaten her soul. He said, so while you're over here telling me how God is using this in your life, you ought to be on your knees in front of her begging for forgiveness. And then he looked at her and he said, if your earthly husband isn't going to come to you and ask for forgiveness, Jesus has already come on that person's behalf. Jesus forgives us daily. Jesus literally got down on his knees and washed the feet of his disciples, people that fall short every day. He humbled himself and he served them. Now, I want to clarify something. You know, we're talking about forgiveness today. I don't want you to walk away today and think that I'm somehow suggesting that in this story of the married couple that she just needs to forgive him and everything's going to be fine. That's not what I'm saying. There are always consequences to our actions. If I have a job and I open up the cash register at wherever I'm at and I steal money, God's going to forgive me. But I'm probably going to get fired and I might be put in jail for it. So there's still consequences, but God still forgives me. So I just want to make sure you understand. I don't want anyone to walk away here today and think that's what I'm suggesting, because it's not. Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. I don't like this verse because it's hard. Chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. I needed to read that verse a few times a few weeks ago in that situation with Tripp. Forgiveness is hard, guys. Anybody else struggle with that? Forgiveness is hard. So how do we follow Jesus and forgive? How do we do that? I mean, those are words of Scripture, and that sounds easy, but how do we actually put that into practice? Jesus showed us. He set the example for us in John chapter 13. This is what, it blows my mind to think about what Jesus did here, because this is, on the surface, we don't realize this. Like I said, we just think he's, okay, serving these people that are following. Yeah, that's a really neat story. That'd be like if, you know, Sheldon was here and he somehow served every one of us, and we would think that's great. Jesus got on his knees before Judas, the man who very soon was about to betray him and start the entire process of Jesus being arrested and then put to death. He got on his knees before Judas and washed his feet with the very hands that soon were to be pierced with nails. Jesus got on his knees before Peter, the very man who very soon was going to deny he even knew who Jesus was. No, I've never followed Jesus. That's not me. You must be mistaken. Every one of those men in that room had, at some point, I guarantee you, done something wrong. Jesus, I imagine if I were there in that position, I would have been frustrated with those 12 men constantly, because they never seemed to get it. But Jesus, being the person that he is, humbles himself, does the job of a servant, even for those two specific people, Judas and Peter, still does it. Doesn't hold a grudge. Just shows them love and grace and forgiveness. We've all been hurt and wrong. Every one of us. On the flip side, we've all hurt someone else too. So there's two sides of this. Do you feel like where you are in your life right now, do you feel like someone has wronged you and that they need to come to you and ask for forgiveness? Or maybe on the other side, maybe you're sitting here this morning and you know that you've hurt somebody, but your pride won't allow you to go to them and say, you know what, I know what I did was wrong. I know that I hurt you. I'm sorry. I realize that. Please forgive me. Jesus showed us how to forgive, how to be humble. You know, I said in the first service, don't ever pray for humility, because if you do, God will give you 1 million opportunities every day to be humble. And that's hard to do sometimes. You know, if you're carrying pain with you because someone has hurt you, and you're carrying this big old bag with you, wouldn't it be a lot easier to just drop it walk away from it and stop carrying it with you. Yet we continue to carry all of that junk and all the people that hurt us, and we have this list that we check of all the people who have done us wrong because we're never going to forget it. Jesus had no such list. The only list he has is people that are his children, and that he loves, and that he forgives constantly. So I want to challenge you today. If you're struggling with forgiveness, let go of that pain, that anger, that rage. I would encourage you to come up front this morning when we sing this last song. Come lay it at the feet of Jesus. Life's too short to carry it with you all the time. Or maybe you've hurt someone, and you know you have, but like I said, your pride isn't letting you come clean about it. Let's do that. What a freeing experience. It might be hard. But if you're hurting and someone has hurt you, and they haven't come, and it's been years and years and years, and they're never going to do that, it's okay. Jesus has already forgiven them. You might as well forgive them too, so that you can move on with your life, because I guarantee you they're not harboring that pain that you are over it. So let's ask Jesus this morning to help us to forgive people. I struggle with this every day. I'm preaching to myself this morning. I struggle with that. I want to hold a grudge. I need to learn to let things go. Jesus isn't keeping a list of all the things